Welcome in to another edition of Ask the Experts. Good Saturday morning. I'm Dave Callender. Thanks for joining us for 2 hours of informative radio with your questions answered and kicking things off. Kevin Power and Ann Turner join us again from Power Mortgages. You'll find them at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo, online at powermortgages.ca. Good morning.
Good morning, Dave.
And good morning to you, Dave.
And welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
It's a lovely day to be inside doing a radio show instead of outside doing anything, really.
Man, how can we go from such beautiful weather to this?
I don't know.
It's going to have my garden confused.
And here, Kevin was all proud to show me his new car today, but I couldn't bear to stand outside for more than about 5 seconds. Yeah, it's really great. Okay, let's get inside now. So, folks, on the show today, our main topic a little later on in the hour will be discussing what this year's home buyers should be looking at before they start their search, having all the financing ducks in a row and all that good stuff. But to start things off, we do want to mention, if you've got questions or comments for Kevin and Ann at any time, you can call us at 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or *570, hands-free on your cell phone. I think the first at least quarter of the show, if not longer, we're just going to take a look at what's going on in the news that's related to the mortgage industry. And the first thing off the bat is there's apparently a subprime meltdown going to be happening in Canada. Run, run, everyone, run for the hills.
This just is so annoying to me. A responsible newspaper like the Financial Post has come out with a couple of articles lately. We'll talk about both of them today. But this one bothers me the most, and it's come out with saying that we look down the road in a few years, 3 to 5 years, we're going to see Canada in the same position as the U.S. was on its subprime meltdown. The proposal being, or the idea being, that all these subprime lenders from the U.S. fled Canada, and so when these subprime mortgages that they underwrote while they were here mature, there'll be no subprime lender in Canada that will take on these mortgages. Consequently, people won't be able to get a mortgage and will lose their homes. This is so ridiculous. Also, they say that subprime lenders are not insured by the government, by CMHC or Genworth, and consequently, they won't want to take that risk. This is all presupposing that Canada and its mortgage market and its citizens are anything like the U.S. when it comes to their homes and mortgaging their homes. And even responsible people in this industry have said, well, geez, yeah, you know, that could happen. I don't think so. And there are, I might say, responsible people that were in our industry and have moved out and are now working in the credit industry. So it's been to their advantage to have say something like this. But in respect to, is this going to happen in Canada? I don't think so, and there are some really good reasons for it not happening in Canada. The first being that in Canada, subprime market consists of about 5% of all mortgages, in comparison to 30% in the U.S. The next point is that in Canada, we underwrite our mortgages significantly different than they underwrite in the U.S. And what was going passing for underwriting, passing for due diligence in the U.S. during the subprime meltdown, never happened in Canada. I mean, our subprime market is probably closer to their prime market than their subprime market. We never did something like send an appraiser out. He never gets out of the car, just drives by, and if the lawn's mowed, they consider it an A property, and good people living inside because they're lawn was mowed. And that's as far as due diligence went in terms of appraising the house and looking at the people themselves. That obviously people who mowed their lawn for when the appraiser was going to go by were good people to give a mortgage to. We do a much bigger deal in terms of qualifying people for mortgages here in Canada.
I think the only valid point that was in the whole thing deals with people who are currently in subprime mortgages who are having payment problems. I've worked in this industry for a long period of time, and I've advised lots of clients over the years who ask questions about, well, what happens if this mortgage company goes out of business? And if that happens, it's really simple. You continue to make your payments. Usually mortgages are considered to be assets, and other companies who are operating in the mortgage business will buy the assets of any mortgage company that decides or legislated or financial or in financial trouble that can no longer continue to operate as a mortgage lender. Those receivables are purchased by another lender. So any customer who is current on their mortgage and have made their payments on time and are considered to be a good mortgage risk, even if they don't currently fit into the A market profile, I'm pretty confident that there's lots of other mortgage companies or mortgage funds out in the marketplace in Canada that would be quite happy to pick up a good customer.
I think so too. You know, and that good customer is probably the important criteria there. No matter what, there are always going to be people who don't manage their money well. For some reason, they weren't taught by their parents, they weren't taught in the schools, and have never developed the knack of managing their money, and never will. And these people will always float on the edges of every credit market there is, whether it's consumer loans, mortgage loans, credit cards. They'll be in and out of bankruptcy, they'll be late on their payments. You know, society will always have a place for those kinds of people, but they are such a tiny, minute part of our society. Most people, when they don't learn how to manage their money at home or in school, eventually do learn the hard way and get their act together. And we spend a great deal of our time with people who haven't managed well in the past, teaching them how to manage their money and getting them into homes once they have. And I have great faith that those people that are part of the subprime market now will eventually become part of the prime market or the A market, because they will have learned how to keep their mortgage ducks in a row, and it's a maturation process. So I don't think we're going to see a huge slew of people who initially started out in the subprime market remaining there when their mortgages mature. And even if they do, there's still subprime lenders out there. Not every subprime lender in Canada came from the U.S. Canada has plenty of its own subprime lenders and also has private lenders.
Okay. Topic number two today, the Helena Gerges mortgage. What went on there? What do you want to say about that?
Oh, we're not going to get into a political storm, are we, Dave? you know that's got to be my least favorite topic in the world.
Right.
All I'm concerned about is that no expletives go out on air. That's all I'm worried about.
And I've given you a fair warning all morning that that today could be a very bad day. You might have to hit that red button at any given moment.
Anyway. So what's happening there? Something about favoritism? Something, I don't know. You tell us.
Well, Dave, you live apparently based on our conversation this morning. You live a pretty sheltered life as a mushroom or something, and not know what's been going on with this entire story. And we're actually just only going to touch on a very small portion of it. We're not going to get into the allegations of a whole bunch of other things, and the fact that Ms. Gerges was dismissed as a finance as a minister of the Government of Canada, and also dismissed from caucus. We're going to talk about a story that was released approximately 2 weeks ago and reported on by the Ottawa Citizen newspaper. I guess somebody had from there had gone down to the registry office and completed a title search on the home that she had recently purchased, and found out, and all that information is very easily accessible anywhere. All you have to go is to the registry office, and you can find out anything on any property anywhere in Ontario, in Ontario itself. You can find out who the registered owners are, who the previous owners were, how much was paid for the property. And you can also find out the information on any mortgages that are registered on title to the property. Mm-hmm. You can find out who the mortgage lender is. You can find out how much the mortgage is registered for. And that's really the crux of the story, that this reporter said, well, Ms. Gerges had paid $780,000 or $880,000 for this upscale property in Ottawa.
$880,000.
And when they looked at the mortgage registration, that the mortgage had been registered for $880,000 as well, and they drew a conclusion that she must have received special treatment or special consideration as a minister of the federal government in order to get 100% financing on her property.
Ah.
They did release who the lender was on it, and we've talked about this topic
just
on
our last show
about how lenders register mortgages for these all-in-one mortgage products, and they register them for the full value of the property, either the appraised value or the purchase price. And that's really what happened in this particular case. There was nothing mystical or magical or anything untoward done. No special consideration in terms of getting 100% financing. That is just simply the way that that these mortgages are registered. And even though we are now talking about this situation as a former cabinet minister, she was a cabinet minister and a powerful one, and a well-educated and apparently a very bright individual as well. And if you look at that, that a federal minister basically doesn't even know or understand or has not been advised that the property or the mortgage is being registered for 100% of the value of the property, how can any other ordinary citizen in Canada not help but being put in the same position and not be fully aware of the power that financial institutions are given when it comes to registering these types of mortgages against the property, the leverage that they have in being able to collect any other debt that they have on their books, such as credit card debts with the same financial institution?
Car loans.
Personal loans, overdrafts, anything. All the financial institutions get access to all that equity before the actual owner of the homes do by simply putting those mortgages in place and not taking the time to tell people about how much power they have actually signed off by entering into one of these mortgage agreements.
This is really a huge, huge issue within the mortgage community, because the rules, the laws that govern how mortgage brokers and agents disclose the product and what's going on in the course of the mortgage transaction are entirely different from the ones with which the banks have to abide by. Their need for disclosure is minuscule compared to the brokerage community.
Okay. I see by the clock we have to take a break, but when we come back, we can touch on this again, and we'll also go through one other news item we want to cover today. In the meantime, if you've got questions for Kevin and Ann, call us at 519-570-2545, out of town 1-800-570-5715, or *570, hands-free on your cell phone. Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, my guests today, online at powermortgages.ca. More of Ask the Experts in a few minutes here on 570 News. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dave Callender. Kevin Power and Ann Turner are my guests today from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. You can give them a call at 519-886-1993. And before we go any further, it's time once again for Kevin's show rate specials.
All right, Dave, and here they are this week. Now, unfortunately, as most people know, in the last 2 weeks since we did our last show, then interest rates have actually increased twice, and we're going to touch on that a little later in the show about interest rates and the importance of getting a pre-approval. But as of today, interest rates, and they're still extremely favorable, we can offer five-year fixed-term mortgage money at 4.5%, and as usual, we will extend a special offer for the first three callers after the show, and this must be new business, new clients, and must close within 120 days. We will further reduce that interest rate to 4.40%. We will offer variable rate mortgage at, and that's five-year variable rate, at prime minus 0.5% or 0.40. Bank prime today is 2.25. Less minus 0.50 is an interest rate of 1.75%. Seven-year term, 4.90%. 10-year term at 5.55%.
And if you'd like to take advantage of any of those amazing rates, even though they have gone up a little bit, you can call Kevin right after the show at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. Now, one final news item we wanted to cover today. The Financial Post had an article speculating that cheating on mortgages will become more prevalent with the tightening of mortgage rules. So what do you say to that?
Well, this is a concern, again, of the Financial Post. And where it's originating from is, can we go back in time and go back to the old rules of mortgage underwriting, or are we forcing a sort of cigarette back market economy sort of into the mortgage market, where people are getting around the law by buying, like for in the case of cigarettes, on the reservations, mm-hmm. and not paying tax, and so cheating on those laws or rules that are in place for cigarettes. Are people going to cheat on the rules that govern the mortgage market? And it's because we've gone back, taken steps back to where now we're shortening the amortization periods again for people, and we no longer have the 40-year term. We're back to 30 and 35-year terms, and which makes for higher payments. And we've gone back to lower loan-to-value ratios so that there's theoretically not 100% financing anymore. There is, you know, 95% or less in the case of investment properties in particular, you know, 80% financing, which is in actuality under our current laws, a conventional mortgage that doesn't even need to qualify for insurance program anyways. Mm-hmm. And it's in particular worry about investors not buying into the market, because now they're going to have to get a mortgage with 20% down instead of 5 or 10% down like they did in the past. And there's lots of opportunity for fraud there. And there are two kinds of fraud. And one is soft fraud, and this is fraud for shelter. And this is where someone buys a house and they sort of fudge the numbers or fudge the information so that they get a home, their own home. And lenders aren't as concerned about this kind of fraud because it's actually someone's home. But where they're more concerned is where it's an investment property and it isn't the person's actual home, and they won't be as concerned about losing it. And these, when these numbers get changed, this type of fraud is fraud for gain because it's for an investment gain. And this is what Financial Post is looking at in particular, that there's going to be a lot more fraud going on in this area because people won't be willing to take that step back, just as there are certain segments in our society that weren't willing to step back to high taxes on cigarettes again and now go to the black market. Are they going to be unwilling to comply with the laws and now will juggle the documentation and information given to lenders because they want what they want, which is investment properties, under the old deal, not the new one?
Well, I'm, you know, speculation is always good in terms of how people will behave, and there's always a percentage of the general population that will behave badly, or the people that will think that they're smarter than everybody else in the world, and they come up with a great idea and a great scam, and all of a sudden they find themselves at the short end of a leash in front of a judge. Personally, and I've done this for many, many years right now, and I know paperwork, and I've seen lots of changes coming and going, and programs being introduced and then being discontinued. And lenders today, and that's pretty well all the lenders that are considered to be A lenders, their paperwork requirements are so stringent. They are probably the most stringent paperwork requirements that I have seen in almost four decades of working in the financial services industry, where one of our primary lenders today for people who have variable income, people that are on commission or overtime or bonus income, that we basically used to get T4 slips for 2 or 3 years along with a current pay stub and an employment letter, and that was quite acceptable. And the lender would still call the employer and verify the employment. They would check the internet or check Canada 411 to see that that employer actually existed and it was a legitimate or valid letter. They've now really even graduated further than that, that we are now required to get complete T1 generals for a minimum of 2 years supported by a notice of assessment. So if anybody can come up with a way to avoid even that kind of paperwork documentation, I don't know how it can be done.
Well, if it can be done, someone will figure it out eventually. It's just kind of a physical law of the universe. My guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, online at powermortgages.ca. News is coming up at 11:30. Then stick around as we'll start talking about what this year's home buyers should be looking at before they start their search. More of Ask the Experts coming up here on 570 News. Thanks for joining us. I'm Dave Callender. Kevin Power and Ann Turner are my guests from Power Mortgages. Online at powermortgages.ca and in the real world at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. You can call them at 519-886-1993. Or you can call them right now and ask your questions. 519-570-2545. If you're out of town, it's 1-800-570-5715. And if you're out and about today, call us on your cell phone, *570. Just remember to be hands-free and be safe. Our topic today, we're going to be discussing what this year's home buyers should be looking at before they start their search. Having your financing ducks in a row, of course, is critical to avoid not looking, in the right price range, the wrong price range, losing out on a property because your financing isn't in order to make your offer attractive, or losing the property because you don't qualify for the financing you need for it. So what are the points we're going to be exploring today?
Well, the first one is to allow time for financing on your offer to purchase. Each offer to purchase should include a financing clause. This clause should not be overlooked, even if you firmly believe you have your financing ducks in a row, because anything can happen. Things can change between when you make the offer and when it's accepted that make that not so. And we have found often that people who believe that they are pre-qualified or pre-approved are in fact only pre-qualified and don't have that financing in order like they thought they did. Mm-hmm. So anything can happen, and we found, especially when there's a very hot and active market, that purchasers are under a lot of pressure from realtors to take in clean offers. And that means offers that don't have financing conditions in them.
Oh.
So if you can't get your financing, how the heck are you going to buy this house? Well, what's going to happen is you're going to lose your down payment with the offer to purchase. Whatever money you put down with that offer to purchase, you lose it because you can't follow through on the deal. And the second bit of pressure that often gets put on people, and we are often talking them out of, is not to waive that financing clause until there's a commitment in hand and signed. In the heat of the market, where people are interested in getting their property sold and people are interested in making commissions on those properties, it's not in your interest to waive that clause or not include that clause too soon.
We've been long advocates of proper underwritten pre-approvals for a lot of years, where we ourselves, and we encourage our agents and trainer agents to do the same thing, the importance of obtaining the documentation that a lender is going to require in advance, which includes confirmation of income, employment, and down payment, complete with credit checks, with a view to how the deal is going to get underwritten and approved by both the lender and or CMHC if somebody is buying with less than 20% down payment. I've had cases where it has been competing offers, and my client with their realtors have been successful in negotiating ahead of the other two potential buyers in the marketplace. Now, they are the purchasing agents, and the listing agents are working for the vendors of the property. They are interested in not only obtaining the best offer, but also which one has the best merits in terms of getting accepted, but more importantly, getting approved and also getting closed on closing. And listing realtors, and again, because I've been in this business for so long, when they ask questions about, well, who did the pre-approval for your client, and your client, my clients generally, because I have such a good reputation in the industry, that they will accept an offer from one of my clients because they know I have done my job properly, and it's probably better work than has been done with the other two particular clients. So reputation is extremely important. being knowledgeable of the industry and providing, I guess, a good product, a good pre-approval, properly written under approval, pre-approval for our clients to make sure that they're successful in negotiating an offer to purchase.
It's not having this financing in place and the surety of going into it with good pre-approval can cause you to lose out on that property because someone else's offer is being accepted over yours, or it falls apart afterwards because what you thought was in place wasn't there. And another thing that you really need to know is, how much are you good for? Mm-hmm. You know, you may go into it not knowing, thinking, oh, well, I can afford this much of a mortgage, and then it gets, you get an offer signed back, and you don't know if you can afford more money. But if you're pre-approved, we send you out with the tools knowing just how much of a mortgage you can afford. So you don't always want to mortgage up higher and higher, but if this is a house you want and there is a sign back and you have to come up with more money, you'll know before you leave our office just how high you can go on that offer because we'll let you know.
And most importantly, I think, Dave, is that there is a tightening in all the underwriting that's being applied by both lenders and in particular the default mortgage insurers, and in, I guess in extremely particular is CMHC. We have a whole bunch of new rules that are coming into place as of Monday in terms of refinance, loan to values, rental properties, and this has always been a very difficult business, and if anything right now, we are seeing more stringent underwriting rules and guidelines than we have seen in a lot of years, and I've seen some pretty strange decisions recently on deals that 6 months ago would have been approved without question, and today they are really being looked at with a fine-tooth comb and turned over and turned inside out before you either get an approval on it or you get basically a counteroffer to the way that we have recommended, or the client is looking for financing to be done at 5% down. We're seeing more and more cases of saying we will do the deal with 10% down. We're seeing more and more occasions where we will do the deal with a very strong cosigner or guarantor. So the whole market seems to be going back to more of a market from yesteryear where they're looking for more and more strengths into the deal and are not being quite as loose in their lending decisions as they were going back over the last few years.
All right. What's the next thing in the list that home buyers should know?
And this next part all has to do with the actual mortgage you're going to get. And the first thing you should be determining is the term of the mortgage that you're going to take and whether it's a fixed or a variable mortgage. The term can be anywhere from, say, 6 months up to 10 years right now. And each one will have a different payment because it'll have a different interest rate attached to it. And you have to decide how long you want to lock in that interest rate over that period of time. And do you want it fixed so it never changes? Or do you want it to float with the prime lending rate or with the bond market?
And that's always, I guess, a really tricky question for a number of people. And that's been... it's been one that's been a hot topic for a lot of years. And my own personal opinion about variable rate mortgages, and of course, I've been known to have lots of opinions. Some of them hold some water, and some of them hold a lot of hot air or something. But there's lots of research that's been done over variable rate mortgages, and historically, and quoting a number of sources, it has been said that people who take variable rate mortgages will, over a 5-year term or over a 10-year term or over the life of the mortgage, will save more money than anybody who takes a fixed term mortgage. Now, we can all make numbers do pretty well anything that we want, and there's an old adage that says, figures never lie, but liars always figure. You can always work things to support the point of view that you have for going either way. My own personal opinion about variable rate mortgages, they are for people who are knowledgeable, that have are in a good, strong financial position, who understand the markets. Their budgeting allowances will allow them to take advantages of interest rates when they're low, but also to be able to continue to comfortably make the payments when interest rates are high. With regards to variable rate today, for people who are going in with minimum money down and who are running a little bit tight on their budget, they should really be looking at fixed-term mortgages. My own personal opinion about variable, when interest rates are in a declining mode, is the time that you should be going on a variable rate mortgage. And interest rates now, as we can see even on the fixed term side of things in the last 2 to 3 weeks, have increased in the vicinity of 80 to 90 basis points. Variable rate mortgages, Bank Prime is positioned and it is expected to start increasing in July. Indications are that they're going to increase by 0.5 percentage point with the first setting, and then 6 weeks after that, I don't think we're going to see interest rates go up 1% or 1.5% every 6 weeks, but I think it's going to be reasonable to expect that we're going to see half-point increases at 6-week intervals till possibly the end of the year. People who came to see us and or anybody else in the last couple of months who got pre-approved or got their mortgage financing in place with fixed-term mortgages are now enjoying the peace of mind for 5 years with mortgage interest rates under 4%. People that are now making the same move and were maybe a little bit late getting into the market or getting their ducks in a row are now looking at getting financing rates for 5-year fixed-term mortgages around 4.5% or so. The number of clients that we have done variable rate mortgages for over the last couple of years, the requests that we've had in the last few weeks for wanting to get off the variable rate mortgage and get locked into the fixed term mortgages, we've been pretty busy doing a lot of paperwork with that kind of request as well. And I think we will continue to see more and more of those as fixed term interest rates increase and as we get more into an increasing rate market where we are really positioned to go at this point in time.
Next on the hit parade here is everyone wants to find the best rate that they qualify and that matches their future needs, but how do you do that?
By going to a mortgage broker.
Oh, actually, in preference to Power Mortgages or one of our representatives.
Uh-huh.
Yes, by coming to us. When you go directly to a lender, what you're getting is akin to going to the grocery store that only sells apples. Now, they may sell many varieties of apples, but all they sell are apples. And when you go there, that's what you're buying, is their apples. When you go to a mortgage broker, it's like going to a grocery store that sells bread and milk and cereal and oranges and melons and meat and staples, because the mortgage broker is there offering you the products of every lender within our system, and private lenders as well, not just the products of one lender.
Okay. We're going to have to take a short break, but right off the bat, there was a good answer. Don't go to the place where they only have apples if you're looking for a peach. Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, my guests today on Ask the Experts, online at powermortgages.ca. Stick around. When we come back, we'll answer some more questions. We'll also go to the phones and take a question from a caller. Ask the Experts coming up here with more on 570 News. Welcome back. I'm Dave Callender. My guests, Kevin Power and Ann Turner from Power Mortgages, 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. Before we do anything else, let's once again feature Kevin's rate specials.
On that, and I know that's extremely hard to do, so we're going to go with 5-year fixed-term interest rates, 4.50%. That's with 120-day closing. And we will further reduce that interest rate for the first 3 callers after the show for new business only. Subject to credit approval, we will further reduce that interest rate to 4.40%. 5-year variable rate mortgage product at prime minus 0.5 percentage point. 7-year term at 4.90 and 10-year fixed-term mortgage product at 5.55%.
And if you'd like to take advantage of these rates, right after the show, give Kevin a call on his cell phone at 519-240-2967. That's 240-2967. She's been waiting patiently. Let's go over to the phones and talk to Laura. Hi, Laura. You're on 570 News.
Great. Thank you. I just had a quick question about a line of credit mortgage. I plan on purchasing a home the price is $250,000. I've got 20% down, but I know that the appraised value is going to come in a lot higher than that. Now, is it possible for me to actually take out the line of credit for that appraised value as opposed to the $250,000?
All right, great question, Laura. And when it comes to financing a property, lenders by law are limited to financing based on the lesser of purchase price or appraised value.
Okay.
So basically at the time of purchase, you're really going to be limited to the $250,000.
Okay.
You always have the option after the fact, particularly if you do any improvements or anything to the property, mm-hmm. to approach your financial institution after the fact, have it reappraised at that point in time, and if the appraisal can support a higher value on it, you can always apply to have your line of credit increased.
Oh, okay. Okay, so wouldn't actually, leave the mortgage as it is, and then if I get the higher appraised rate, then I can go in afterwards and have that, have it almost added to it?
Exactly.
Would it be a separate line of credit then, or would it still be the same line of credit incorporated in with my mortgage?
Okay, depends, I guess, on your mortgage product and your mortgage lender that you're working with.
Okay.
And in certain cases, what we have seen, we've talked about this on previous shows, that lenders with lines of credit or these all-in-one type of mortgages actually register them for the purchase price of the property in your particular case. So if the value of the property goes up after that, you can have it appraised, and other than your financial institution agreeing to increase your credit limit on your line of credit, there really isn't a whole lot of any other thing that you've got to do on it. But that varies case by case on lender and lender product, okay? If you if you're interested in getting more specific information, mm-hmm. Laura, I would encourage you to give us a call after the show.
Okay, that would be great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
That.
Have a great day. Thank you for your call.
Thanks for calling in, Laura. And if you do want to get a hold of Kevin and Ann after the show, talk to them a bit more, call 519-886-1993 or go online for more information at powermortgages.ca. As we continue our topic today, discussing what homeowners this year should know before they start their search, deciding what the amortization period should be. How do you go about deciding that?
Well, as you saw when Kevin read out the current rates that we're offering, there's a difference between the five-year rate of 4.5
mm-hmm.
and the 10-year rate of 5.55. That's 105 basis points or 1.05 percentage points higher to get a rate going over 10 years. Now, people would say, well, why would I take a 10-year term?
Uh-huh.
Because you aren't looking forward to having big increases in the value of your job. You know, you work at a place and you know that over the course of the next 10 years, you're not going to be earning substantially more than what you are now, that you're only going to get cost of living kinds of increases. So you want to establish a payment that, looking forward, is going to stay steady over the course of 10 years rather than just 5 years. And it may not even be just that. You may say, well, in a few years we want, you know, one of us to drop out and stay home and have family, and so our income's going to drop, and we want to have a smooth payment.
Mm-hmm.
For amortization, it works the same way. If your mortgage is amortized over 15 years, your payment is going to be significantly different than if it's amortized over 25, 30, or 35 years. So you would be looking at your amortization period in the same way that you look at your term of your mortgage. Is how is it going to affect your payment? And the shorter the amortization period, the bigger the monthly payment is going to be, and the longer, the smaller it's going to be.
We've talked on previous shows over the years that we've been doing this, Dave, about mortgage strategies, and we still do this on a day-by-day, client-by-client basis of actually encouraging people to take the longest amortization period possible, which currently is 35 years, but setting the payments up, starting with the first payments, particularly with the interest rate period that we have just gone through, take advantage of the extremely low interest rates and lower payments, but base your payments on a 25-year amortization. Mm-hmm. So let the extra payments go towards the principal balance. So 5 years from now, when your mortgage is coming up for renewal, theoretically you have 20 years left to pay on it. However, if you find yourself in a position that interest rates have increased, legally and contractually, you still have 30 years left. So if you get caught in a rate squeeze, you can still actually renew what's left of your mortgage balance, even though you're on track to pay it off in 25 years or less. You have 30 years left, and you can actually renew the balance at that point in time, and you're not going to get the kind of payment shock that you would if you just made all your payments at 35 years and you've only made no prepayments and you've just made monthly payments as opposed to any type of accelerated weekly or biweekly payment. It's all about mortgage strategy.
And building in a cushion for life's unexpected happenings, which sometimes aren't favorable.
No. And they do tend to happen. We've only got a couple minutes left in the show, so this will have to be a quickie answer. But finally, don't pay for what you don't need. What do you mean?
Well, there's always an extra charge for certain things. When you cap your variable rate, meaning they can't take the variable rate any higher than a certain place, you're going to pay for it, and you're going to pay for it in the interest rate. If you take cash back, there is a penalty that you pay for that cash back in the interest rate, and if you back out of that mortgage before the term is up, there's a clawback. You have to pay back a portion of that cash back money. So you're paying to get that cash by an extra high interest rate, and you're having to pay back something, a portion of it, if you back out of the mortgage early. So that's what we mean by it. Another one is you may pay more in interest rates, so you have extremely large payment privileges or a very long term, like taking a 10-year term over a 5-year term, where we just saw currently you're going to pay 1.05 basis points or percentage points more than at a 5-year rate. So if you don't need to, don't take these things because you're paying for it one way or another.
We're really negative, and we have been for years, on these cashback programs. As there is nothing free, and your financial institution are not by their good nature giving you cash back. They're actually facilitating putting cash in your pocket, but you are the person who is paying for it, built into your interest rate. Uh-huh. And by far and large, the value that you get as a cash back, a 5% cash back is actually the equivalent over a 5-year term of 6% on interest rate. So who's kidding who about who's really all that generous?
Exactly. So, folks, the cashback is not a gift. They don't just give it to you out of the goodness of their hearts. You're going to pay for it. Kevin Power and Turner, my guest today on Ask the Experts. Get in touch with them at Power Mortgages. You can go to powermortgages.ca. You can give them a call at 519-886-1993, and you'll find their offices at 69 Regina Street North in Waterloo. Thanks again for being on the show.
Thanks, Dave, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you, Dave. Hopefully next Saturday will be nice and warm and we can take you out for a spin in that new car.
That would be awesome. And folks, thank you for listening. Stick around. More of Ask the Experts is coming up after the noon news right here on 570 News.